good evening.
Or whenever you're listening.
Hi, I'm Alec.
I'm Eric.
We're the Pedgy Brothers.
And this is Story Tap,
where we try to tap the potential of an idea by turning it into a spooky story.
This episode, Callus. In the midst of World War II, an American doctor joins an army strike team on a rescue mission where they discover an evil that is inhuman.
Just a heads up, this episode deals with themes of body horror and makes reference to Nazism.
It's Halloween themed. Do you have any ideas?
No, I thought you had an idea.
I do.
Okay. Set myself up for that.
I lost my pen. There it is. A monster movie.
Okay, what? Oh, you mean like a kaiju movie or like a proper, or the American version where it's a monster in the woods?
Yeah,
an American. And it came from the swamp place, and there's a creepy old guy, and some. Yeah, okay, yeah, I can do that. I can vibe with that.
Yeah, okay. So I have an idea for a monster, which, if we're going to make a good one,
it better be a metaphor for a social issue.
Exactly.
Oh,
but
okay, yeah.
I'm kind of tired, so I don't know if we're going to do that. The monster idea I had, you know about it, was, let's see, a biology experiment type of thing. It would have to be science motivated to make most sense. Basically, the thing is just a big, sort of like a crime against biology, crawling around. But it heals really quick, which can, you know, be like its strength, its unnatural strength that makes you freaked out and uncomfortable. But the thing is, that would make it, that give it that extra mile of unnatural spookiness, is it doesn't have joints. So to move and to walk, it has to, like, break a bone. And then, like, you know, like, pull itself or push itself somewhere. And then by the time it, like, extends that limb again, or maybe it heals in a new position kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, I remember this. I remember that it's repulsive.
Yeah.
This is not in line with, like, who Eric is as a person coming up with that. I feel like y'all know this, but worth noting.
I don't like stuff like that, but I was like, this is pretty novel, and I haven't seen anything like this before.
Oh, that might just be because we don't watch these movies, but
that might be already a thing.
Okay, so, but I don't think so, to my knowledge. I feel like I would have heard of that at some point. So, okay, the horrible healing monster. Okay, I feel like this is, there's a logical setup for that. Somebody who has, or loves someone who has, a degenerative disorder that is, like, inevitably fatal, they go to this lab where this groundbreaking research is being done, in, you know, wherever, in the mountains, very controversial, and they find the place in ruins. Do we find out that the monster is the scientist he's looking for?
We don't have to decide that quite yet.
Fair enough.
Let's go with a setting first. And I have almost no experience with this kind of category, but when you do, you know, crimes against science and human, crimes against nature, basically, what is always safe is some foreign something or other. I don't know how to broach the idea, but it's a Nazi scientist, you know? World War II times, and we send in who? Because what I was getting at was Nazi scientist. I don't know how to say it, how to get there naturally, but a Nazi scientist is a very unobtrusive bad guy. But what you were saying was pretty cool with they were just trying to fix someone's degenerative disease or something, something terminal, and which I think we're coming up with a theme now. The road to hell, Nazism, is paved with good intentions, you know?
Yeah. Maybe this, not make it actual Nazism, though.
Right, exactly, because that was just bad all over. But I do like the idea that, and, you know, anything that humanizes Nazis just is already a no-go from the start.
Yeah.
But there were people who were like, yeah, you know, the only reason Hitler got away with anything was because normal people were like, I feel like I have no other option, you know?
Yeah.
And that's who you should be talking about, you know? Not the actual people who are just filled with hate. They're different, we need to kill them kind of types.
Yeah.
But rather the Jojo Rabbit types who are like, either you don't know better, or you feel like you're desperate, so you have to comply with whatever the villain is promising.
Yes, the Edmund Burke quote, evil succeeds because good people do nothing.
Exactly.
That's a modified version, but you get the deal.
So, who is the villain? Now we're talking in terms of the movie. Who is the, quote, villain of the movie would be the scientist who wants to do good, doesn't have the resources as a result of probably the Great Depression, and they just sort of decide, I'm going to go to my country, my government. Who's in charge? Oh, the Third Reich? I don't like that. I don't like what that Hitler boy is up to, but I don't feel like I have a choice. You know, maybe he was a scientist, and maybe it's like the dad from Rogue One, who was like, I'm not doing this anymore. And then he, like, quote-unquote, retires. He leaves once he sees where Nazi Germany is going. And right. Then they're like, oh, we can't help but notice your wife has something or other. And then they sort of, like, make him the offer that he feels like he has no choice but to comply. And so, from our main character's kind of perspective, all they're thinking of is, he's a Nazi. He, you know, he's a bad guy, bad dude, awful dude. And maybe one of the main characters can have some sort of personal struggle going on where they feel like they don't have a choice but to comply with some other character or some other someone who is shitty. And then once, but, you know, they're telling themselves, like, no, this is different. You know what I mean? And maybe it doesn't have to be on the same scale of Nazism.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, are we saying that there was, like, this flashback? Are we saying that's the setup? Are we still going...
Oh, no. That's, like, the plot twist of, oh, we're going in to kill a Nazi. Oh, there's a monster. And then it's like, oh, no, it's a bit more nuanced than that.
Okay, yeah. I can work with this. So we are not humanizing Nazis.
No.
Because... that would be evil.
Yeah.
Kind of actively what we're trying to go against.
Exactly.
It is that...
don't let very Nazis human, get away yeah, with it.
Exactly. Very human people comply because they feel that they don't have a choice.
Exactly.
And that is the wrong thing to do.
Yes.
Okay. Oppose fascism.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go.
And... so now that we have the sort of grander picture going on, we should start from the beginning. Who is our group of people? And to frame it correctly, what makes something scary is a sort of feeling of helplessness, of powerlessness. So to make them soldiers doesn't really let you project onto them of like, oh yeah, we're on the same field, so I understand how you might feel to be helpless like that. But rather, it's like, look at this thing that I considered kind of tougher than me, and now they're less tough than me, and it gives you a sort of mixed feeling that I don't know about.
Maybe the embedded war correspondent. I mean, you know, because there's people, is like people who are medical staff or medical corpsmen, as opposed to, and actually that sets up a reason why they would be going to this area, why they would send medical people into this research lab. It's like, we need you to extract this information. We need you to go, we need like two soldiers to go kill this guy, and we need doctors and a couple of doctors and nurses to go and go through his notes because we think the research he was working on was really important.
All right, sick. Okay, this is dope. We've got the main character I'm thinking is either a medic or a translator. What do you think? Does either one strike you as thematically more appropriate?
I don't know. I think a medic kind of makes more sense, just because we are dealing with pain and healing and injury here. I think thematically it tracks, even if that's just a surface thing.
Okay. I dig it. Okay, here we go. Main character is a combat medic, and we can come up with a sort of backstory for them that might be a little more nuanced, maybe not, but they're not just, like, a combat medic. They were, like, a surgeon and they were like really highly respected in their field. And let's just straight up make them like, you know, a doctor rather than someone who was in the army. But since it's Nazi Germany and we're going for Americans, probably, for the main cast.
Yeah, I feel like Americans or British are our bet here.
Yeah, this will be like an SAS, Army Rangers, if they were around back then, type of joint.
I think they were called the Airborne then.
Sick. Type of joint task force thing they got going on.
Yay.
And what we have is the doctor, who is not battle-hardened at all, comes through. We've got a couple medics, some soldiers, and then we've got the SAS guys, and it's just like, you know, a mix of everything there. And what we have is the doctor has this sort of mindset that I'm going in, my allegiance is not to any nation, not to any person, but to science, you know? And like, he sort of puts himself on this moral high ground, but he also needs something else to sort of undermine that. So when the time comes, we can see that, oh, the deeper theme here is not just talk high and mighty about yourself. It's, you know, deliver. Maybe he has to, like, sacrifice himself. And he's like, I can't do that. I'm a doctor. And it's like, okay, but, like, you have to do the right thing. And he's like, yeah, but science. You see what I'm getting at?
Yes. I think that a way to exemplify that is that he has heard of this German or Austrian scientist whose compound they're going to look at. And he's like, he's a respected medical man. Science transcends nationality. And science is above. Science and medicine are above politics. Are above all of this. And he would Word. Never do anything evil. He would be only be doing this because he is a prisoner.
Yeah.
And sort of, and I mean, once you get to it, and it's like, so we're going to liberate this great scientist in his mind. And kind of once you get down to it, it's like, yeah, this guy wasn't like, yeah, I'll do fascist stuff. That sounds great. But he was, this researcher didn't like obstruct their goals, didn't get in the way of unethical human experiments because he was interested. And in a way that's condoning evil.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's there, that's present. And it needs to kind of show our protagonist that his beliefs are flawed, that science doesn't transcend good and evil.
There you go. Okay, that's dope.
Right. And I feel like that kind of speaks to what the German research was trying to accomplish, that they were trying to create a soldier that would heal from any injury.
Cool.
Then there were heinous side effects. Fused joints. Gross.
Yeah, real disgusting stuff.
The clickety-clack monster.
The clickety-clack monster.
That is what I called him, yes.
Awesome. Ah, man. Okay, I'm just trying to think of what is this evil external that the main character could bargain with at first and then turn against? Because we need some sort of external manifestation, you know?
I think it has to be the German doctor that he believes another version of what our protagonist believes, that they run into him, they find him, and he is like still trying to do the research, and he's saying, it's like, it doesn't matter how many people we experiment on, because if I get this to work, then disease will be a thing of the past. And fine, I have to work with the Nazis. I don't like the Nazis, but this is, it's something bad I'm doing for the greater good.
Oh, okay. Because I was, in the beginning, I was initially thinking that this sort of task force was going in to kill the monster. Like, the monster had gotten out and killed everybody. And so we're sending a strike team in to find out what happened and maybe recover some research or something. But it would make sense now for a sort of different context, I suppose. What were you thinking?
Huh? I assume, like you said, we're going to kill a Nazi. And
I meant like the monster.
Oh, I mean, I just figured they were going to kill a high-ranking German officer and take the medical research if they could recover it.
Okay, I've got it.
He's got it.
You got it. We're going in. The scientist who made the monster is already dead.
Mm-hmm.
the monster killed him. Is the monster just a soldier, or is the monster the wife?
I'm sorry, I feel like we haven't really adequately introduced the wife. There has not been any mention of the wife in a while.
With the degenerative disease.
We didn't talk about... Alright, so now it's the German doctor's wife with the degenerative disease.
Yeah, it always
No, you've made leaps. You've made leaps. That's not what I was suggesting before. Oh. You also didn't bring it up enough when we decided... This is a World War II movie, by the way.
Okay,
Didn't cover that.
When I was talking about the scientist who worked for the Nazis, then turned away, then was, you know, as a result of the Great Depression, had to work... Oh my gosh. The Great Depression hit Germany, right?
Yeah, that's part of how Hitler seized power. He was exactly. Like, hey guys, I can make us all...
Yeah.
Through dictatorship, I can get us money.
Yeah, exactly. The German scientist who makes the monster, he is like a walking, talking metaphor for that. For the Great Depression, I'm out of resources. Oh, Hitler's my only option.
Okay, yeah.
My wife has a degenerative disease. I have to work with... my nation's government, Nazi Germany.
Okay, yeah.
Okay,
we're back on that.
So, our main character, doctor, surgeon, American surgeon, has this idea, I can end disease with some research that I was reading about a German scientist was getting at. And then he dropped off the face of the earth. What happened? And then someone else, some army soldier guy, comes through and he's like, hey, we noticed that you're researching this guy who... And he's like, yeah, but he dropped off the face of the earth. And he's like, well, what actually happened was he joined the Nazis. And he's like, oh, my gosh, a villain. How could he? And then he's like, oh, wait a minute. We're going in to find we're going in to find his research, basically. He's the one who's like, I know we need to send a strike team or whatever to find this guy. Or at least his research. And they're like, okay, cool, whatever. Go off, King. And you put together the team who has the most character development potential. And then he does that. They go. They find out the man is dead and the bone crackly monster is not a soldier. But instead, it is the guy's wife. It would make more sense if the man was begging the Nazis, please, can I get this perfect so that I can use it on my wife first. And then the Nazis were like, no, we're going to make it, put it on a soldier, and we're going to get a super soldier. And then they made a monster. Oh, okay, how about they go there, they go to this empty base, the monster killed everybody, we think it's the German scientist's wife, when in reality it's a soldier. And the reason we think that is because we find one survivor, and it's a German, high-ranking German officer. I'm going to say Nazi officer. It's a high-ranking Nazi officer. And he's like, that mad scientist, he made an abomination, a crime against nature. And then they're like, all right,
and
sick.
Then he's like, okay, pot, kettle.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. And the soldiers are like, all right, let's ice this dude. We don't need any information from him. And the doctor is like, no, I need him. Like, what we're here for is the research, but maybe he has some ulterior motive. Instead, maybe what the soldiers and everyone is there for is to rescue someone, but what I'm getting at is the American doctor needs to have some ulterior motive that we can only call selfish. So that way, the soldiers are like, let's ice the German guy, let's ice the German officer, and the American doctor has a reason to say, no, let's not. Okay, we gotta backtrack again. I know how to fix it. So... backtracking. Instead of the American surgeon doctor proposing this strike team rescue thing, it's the army that says, we're doing a joint task force rescue operation to save some guys from this base. We don't know anything about it. We saw that you were researching a guy who suddenly disappeared once he reached that base. And he's like, oh, it's the German guy. They were in negotiations and then everything went radio silent. So they assume it's abandoned. Let's go. I want to come. I want to find out. And then they find out, oh, they didn't go radio silent because they left. They went radio silent because they were killed. They were killed by this monster thing. They get there, don't know what it is, and they're like, all right, we're here to save the POWs. And then they're getting ready to kill the German officer. And then the main character, surgeon, is like, no, don't kill them. Don't kill him. Why not? Because he's valuable. He has information. He's like, okay, whatever. And then the doctor makes like a little deal off to the side. Hey, I will help you escape. I promise to get you back home to not back to your Nazi home if you work with me to find this German doctor's notes and research.
And he goes, yes, we can be dealt with. We are very reasonable people, and you can always make deals with us.
Exactly. Yeah. You see, now we got it. We finally figured it out. And then the officer guides them through. And
you know, America really did that, right?
Oh, damn, we did.
We let a lot of Nazis in.
L.
Because they had valuable scientific knowledge.
Ouch.
Now it's a metaphor condemning America's actions after World War II. Everything is.
Ta-da!
Ta-da! It's a metaphor. It's not even like, you know, it's not intentional. Now I've said it, so it is kind of intentional.
It was either this or Godzilla. So
next time, let's just do Godzilla, but let's keep going.
All right, now this took way too long, but we finally got it figured out. Let's come up with the first half of the movie, like, sort of beat by beat.
Okay, I feel
we've got
written most of those beats.
Should we introduce the idea that there's a monster in the first teaser scene? What is the teaser scene for a horror movie like? I don't watch horror movies. I don't really watch monster movies at all. What is it like?
Bad. So let's do something else.
Okay.
Okay, cool. It is a flashback. It is a flashback to the doctor's childhood.
American or
American
German?
Doctor. Okay. The American doctor. It's a flashback to the American doctor's childhood, and it is like him doing some, I don't know, some nerd shit. He's looking at frogs in a creek or something, and he falls and he breaks a limb, and there is an audible crack, and he wakes up in a war zone. It's a thematic lead-in. Not thematic. It's a motif lead-in.
The American surgeon?
Yeah.
Doctor?
Yes. We continue through these flashbacks, and we see how it developed his love of science, his belief that science can do only good.
Okay. Cool. A war zone, though? It
wakes
would
up in the war zone, or, you know, in the, you know, the World War II equivalent of a MASH unit or whatever.
Oh, okay. Good. He's at, like, some camp.
Yeah.
Because we need to make him while he is a surgeon, doctor, he's not a medic, you know?
Yeah, he's doing doctor stuff.
He's a nerd. He's not around guns at all. We have that teaser scene. We come in, and right away, this is really good. This is dope. He's at, like, the infirmary, whatever you call that spot where the wounded soldiers are chilling, but, you know, kind of close to the front lines. The infirmary in the camp. The makeshift hospital, whatever. And you can see, he's not, like, a good doctor. He is not, like, chilling, talking to each person, each injured person, like a person. He's talking to them like, okay, yeah, this here is a fractured tibia, blah, 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 blah. And he's basically looking at it as, like, his warm-up puzzles to solve before he goes and he does his big brain stuff in his office.
Right.
And when he gets to his office, like, he has, like, a folder that you're like, okay, that has something to do, that has a German name on it. And he flips it open and you're like, oh, this is some German guy he's after. Because you're looking for, like, someone, like, a hero, an aggressive guy. And you find out, no, he's like, ah, my idol. And you're like, what the hell? This guy really loves a German scientist. And then he's like, maybe we have someone there for spoken exposition who's like, dude, what the hell? And he's like, no. He's not a Nazi. He lives in Germany, and he, like, disappeared near the start of World War II. He's not a Nazi. He just happened to live in Germany, and he was doing research that I really admired. And they're like, okay, I guess that's all right. And he's looking into it, and then next scene, some, you know, really square-jawed, helmeted guy comes through, and he's like, you're the guy who knows about that German scientist, yeah? He's working at a base where some POWs are held. Is he, like, one of those crackpots who does unethical research on people? And he's like, oh, hell no, man, he's a cool guy. And he's like, oh, why do you ask? Because, and then he introduces the POW thing. Like, there were some POWs there. We were talking, maybe negotiating, like, their release or something.
Yeah, because we're advancing. It's like, this isn't going to go well if you don't give us anybody back or something.
And then he's like, well, might I look at that strike plan you have? And then that's when he formulates his idea, like, oh, they're about to go in and rescue these guys. Maybe I can get a one-on-one with that scientist, because he dropped off the face of the earth after he got, after he, like, the paper trail ends with him going there, basically.
Right. He's a, so our guy is a very respected researcher, and he's an orthopedic surgeon.
There you go.
They work on bones. Bones!
So we go, what is the team like? He shouldn't meet the team until we're, like, pretty much on the way there, because he's not a part of the planning process, you know?
Yeah. So, as always, we have the, our Goodfellas scene.
There you go. First, okay, so Tony two times is on the Jeep, exactly, on the way there. So, who's on this team? Who would be most interesting? Soldiers should be just, you know, monster fodder. But...
fair enough. I mean, fair enough. It's like, the concept is that this thing is horrifying because it is immune to how the soldiers know how to deal with the worlds.
Right.
Which is through inflicting physical violence on your enemies.
There you go. So, that's a really good sort of first... it's not quite the inciting incident. The inciting incident, I suppose, is, hey, Doc, let's go. Well, it's not let's go. It's the Doc being like, I must go. That's sort of the inciting incident. So the first plot beat is usually, I suppose, when the monster is introduced, not like to the characters, but like when you as the audience see, oh, there's something unnatural afoot here, and the characters don't catch on at first. So I guess that first sort of pinch point is, what's this? The base is empty. And it's like all these German soldiers are dead. What is that about?
I mean, how does it kill them?
I don't know. It doesn't, like, eat them or anything.
Yeah, just, I mean, it breaks all their bones.
Yeah,
it just beats them to death.
It just sort of smacks them around and they're dead. We didn't really give a reason for whatever it... I mean, we could just say it made it crazy. It made its brain too big.
Dude,
and it doesn't fit in there.
Well, I don't know. It's like, if you were breaking your bones every couple of seconds and it was the only way that you could move, you'd be pretty... probably be pretty nutty.
Yeah, exactly. So this thing has already gone insane by... well, this once man goes insane just from pain. Oh, gosh, this is really dark.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
And so our midpoint... yeah, this is it.
I do kind of appreciate that the science was used to inflict this evil. It's like, this is not possible without his research. So.
Okay. I like this.
Yeah.
Midpoint, we meet the German high-ranking officer who, we don't know, tells us the lie. He's like, we had plans, but the German scientist's wife was degrading... too fast, so he went behind our back, he skipped test trials, and he just used it on his wife. That monster, like, we made a monster, and you still don't see it, you still don't know the deal. He's like, it's huge and it's evil and blah blah blah, and they're like, okay, I don't care, we're here to rescue the POWs, where are they at? And he's like, I don't know if I should tell you, and then they're like, and he's like, they're over there, and he's like, okay, well, now prepare to get murked. And then midpoint, that's when you see the beginning of our boy's negative arc, where the American scientist is like, no, don't kill him. And they're like, why not? He's like, maybe he knows how to take down the monster. And then the German officer's like, oh yeah, no cap, I know how to do that. And when in reality, he's like, takes him to the side, and he's like, I need the guy's research. And he's like, what can you offer me? And he's like, I can let you live. And he's like, you'll let me go back to my concentration, home? You'll let me go back home, where I am definitely a human, and I'm not a terrible monster fucker? No, I'm sorry.
Terrible fucking monster.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. Oh no.
That was very insulting to monster fuckers.
We'll be right back. And we're back. We decided to name the movie Callus, but specifically spelled A-L-L-U-S instead of O-U-S, because that is the medical term, not just for, you know, the rough skin you get over time, but also the type of scar tissue that forms on fractures of bones after they heal. Also, it sounds like calloused, which is like, you know, jaded and mean.
You know, which sort of speaks to the mentality of our protagonist and the other scientists who are sort of cutting morality out of their thinking.
Yeah, I thought Malignant would have made a good term, because, you know, it's a medical term for, you know, intending to harm, but it's also just, like, kind of an evil, kind of, like, malevolent sounding. But a movie called Malignant just came out, and that was also a horror movie, so. We thought of three names. We'll start with the American doctor guy, just John Cadmus, because Cadmus in mythology, he stole something, and then he planted it, and then he made people. The idea is regeneration from, really, this is just a reference to Young Justice, when they made the clone of Superboy.
Yeah.
Two, Heinrich Hoth. For the, not the German scientist, but the German officer. We just took two names of very important Nazis.
Prominent Nazis. Yeah,
there we go. And the third guy.
Yes, we named the German scientist Werner Wagner after Werner Heisenberg, who was, you know, Heisenberg's uncertainty principle, who was the head of the German nuclear program. And then after Richard Wagner, who was the favorite composer of Nazis, of the Nazis. So that sort of incorporates to prominent intellectuals who were not fascists themselves, sort of this idea that brilliance or science are not independent of politics and morality.
And where we were was the midpoint. We kind of ended abruptly because I thought it would be funny to stop on that note.
And it was.
And where we left off was American scientist, who I should refer to as his name from now on, Cadmus, tells Haas, I'm going to do everything I can to convince the American soldiers here to let you live, or to even, you know, lie to them so you can sneak away. I promise whatever you want so that you can get me to Wagner? Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Wagner's research. And that way we get, he's basically lying to himself, like, no, I'm not working with the Nazis, I'm just, you know, like, this is just a one-time thing, blah, blah, blah. When he's, like, you know, letting a Nazi get away to commit more war crimes.
Well, that's at least not setup. Pay for the war crimes that he already did.
There you go. So, there's the midpoint. We maybe should introduce the monster before then.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's a quick thing, is that the monster gets somebody.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. That's really good, because that way, because the first pinch point of, oh, this place is empty, doesn't really give you any sort of unnatural or supernatural vibes. So we should maybe split up into teams. That siren has been going off for the past 2.5 minutes. I have my timer going, and it has not gotten any further away. If anything, it's only getting closer.
This is where the crime's happening.
So that first pinch point shouldn't be, oh, this place is empty. It should be, all right, we don't know what's in there, so we're going to split up. So they're in there, and they split up into teams of two, which I'm sure real soldiers actually do. I'm confident they don't, but this is a horror movie, whatever. And let's say teams of two, but whoever's with Cadmus is a team of three. It's a soldier, Cadmus, and, like, the translator. Whatever. They're like, everybody go look for the POWs, look and see if you can find any surviving soldiers. I'm going to look for where I'm basically, since I'm the big soldier, I'm going with the interpreter, but also Cadmus. So they go, they find the German officer. Let's say the German officer actually speaks English, so there's no reason for the interpreter to be there. Maybe whatever we can work. That's a very small detail we can work out that doesn't have too much bearing on plot. So those teams of two, we can have, it's essentially like a montage of them finding clues that something very unnatural, very spooky is going on, and then one or two teams of two getting, you know, killed by the monster.
Yeah.
So the lead up to the next sort of, we call it a pinch point, but it's basically, this is just for pacing's sake. We're just after the midpoint, we now have our new trio of Haas, Big Soldier, and Cadmus. They're all going around, and Haas is basically telling them why everybody's dead, and it's a lie. He's telling them, we were doing trials, trying to make some sort of serum, blood transfusion, what have you, with Wagner to make essentially super soldier serum, and then, you know, Haas can be talking out of his ass, and he can say, and, like, if we even made that, there would be no reason to have war anymore, but you know they'd use that for even more war crimes.
Yeah.
So, Big Soldier just literally cannot give less of a shit, because he's like, every word this man says is either a lie or doesn't matter. And, you know, Cadmus is there. He's like, oh my gosh, Nazis are not so bad.
That's a, what is that a reference to? Spies Are Forever?
That's a very obscure reference. Spies Are Forever.
Star Kid.
Yeah.
Check them out. Great, great stuff.
They're dope. And so that next pinch point is basically Haas telling them, Wagner didn't wait. This is a lie, just to clarify. We told him, we're going to work on the serum, and he was like, no, my wife needs it now. He gave her the serum, and that monster, he made a monster. His wife is this very crackly thing, and he won't go too into detail, because you're like, holy cow, that sounds terrifying from his description. And, oh my gosh, the pinch point that happens is Cadmus's first interaction with the monster. This is so messed up. But he chooses to save the freaking Nazi. He chooses to save Haas instead of some soldier.
Oof. Yep, that's a negative arc.
That's a very deeply negative
arc. That's like the worst arc.
This is terrible. Okay.
Yeah.
You hate him. Like, this is already so terrible. And the way he justifies that to himself, he's like, we can end the war and, like, even disease and suffering. I just need the research. I'm sure I can crack it. Doesn't matter if Wagner couldn't get it. And he's like, oh, by the way, where is Wagner? He's dead. And then that interaction happens. He has to, like, throw down a rope ladder or something. And he throws down the one that's closer to... He tries to save both, but he, like, prioritizes the Nazi. How about that?
Yeah.
And how about the soldier gets out? How about... Yeah. How about...
This follows John Cadmus, this deeply... troubled doctor with very bad priorities,
but he's very articulate.
Oh yes, that is the most important thing.
Well, no, it's that mostly that when people are troubled, they're like, oh no, and then they hesitate and they don't know how to express. But he is troubled, but also believes he is so right.
Okay,
so he can articulate, like, you're a soldier, or isn't your whole spiel you're supposed to fight and die for the greater good? Oh gosh.
All right, so. Big soldier. All right, so we have big soldier, and now we have a smaller soldier.
Well, we have smaller soldiers around. I was just saying big soldier because he's like in charge of.
Yes, I know. But we have big soldier and we have small soldier, and small soldier makes it out. Oh, this guy who was the translator.
Oh, I meant there's only three of them. There's Haas, Cadmus, and big soldier. Haas and soldier are stuck somewhere where the monster is coming. Cadmus gets them both out. But it's very clear that he prioritized Haas because he's his lead. And then Soldier has that one-on-one with Cadmus. He's like, what the absolute hell was that? And he's like, I told you I have no allegiance to countries, blah, 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 blah. And he just, like, straight up slugs him. I understand you think you're on, like, the path for greater good and bullshit, but that is literally a Nazi that you chose to save above me. And then that way we get very plainly... Cadmus just outright says, like, I'm here to save humanity from suffering forever. Okay, soldier? Nah, 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 nah. And then, you know, he'll have to figure out. I'm getting ahead of myself. But anyway.
What I thought you meant when you said maybe the soldier gets out is that everybody else dies and Big Soldier is the only guy who makes it.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't like John.
No, I don't either, but I think for us to make a proper point, then again, it is a horror movie. I like it when the protagonist survives no matter what, just because, you know, he's the one that the audience is like, ah yes, the vehicle for my... He is my liaison to the philosophy that this movie's trying to get at. So whenever they die, I feel like, at least in the preliminary stages in pre-production of script writing and stuff, before you even put words to page, it's just safer to go with he survived. But there could be something to say about... Because them dying is like an ultimate price, and whatever happens afterward, they don't have any... They don't suffer or any consequences, nor do they get any sort of benefit after that, you know? So the only sort of time I see a protagonist dying is, it's either they were wrong so they deserve to die, which is very spiteful and I feel like even almost childish sometimes, or alternatively, it's the hero makes the ultimate sacrifice, which all that really does for me is turn the ending from sweet to bittersweet.
Right, well, you know, I like a bittersweet ending now and again, but like my thinking here is that we have a protagonist who is irredeemable.
Okay.
Who might be irredeemable.
I do get making that statement by killing him, though I also feel like, yeah, this is sort of like, this isn't me trying to say what's right or wrong. This is just me saying where I differ artistically from other people. I don't think there's such a thing as irredeemable. And well, you, by making that statement, like, there is a place you can't come back from, like, just absolutely you can't come back from, it just rubs me the wrong way.
I don't think that there is a satisfying redemption we can have for this character who's palling around with the Nazi. How about that?
I feel like there is where he kills him. He kills the Nazi.
Okay.
Or rather, yeah. I mean, it's a Nazi.
It's a Nazi.
I do think that, like, the human soul can be redeemed no matter what, but also a single human, as well as all of humanity. Our resources are finite. So, like, Adolf, nope, murk him. Nazis, nope, murk him. And then, you know, the... Anyway, shouldn't get into that.
Anyway.
What leads up to the climax? Basically, we should have been laying some sort of building blocks this whole time for where are we going. Okay, the second half of the movie is going to probably be the bulk of it. And maybe what we call the midpoint wasn't actually the midpoint. But regardless, we still have to find the prisoners, which are POWs as well as Wagner's wife, so that it is revealed, oh, Haas was lying, you know? What really happened was they just decided, okay, let's give this unfinished thing to a random soldier, and Wagner and his wife were both like, please don't do that. It's not done yet. And they're like, we don't care what Nazis were, pieces of shit. And they gave it to him, and then that's how Cadmus figures out, oh, Haas is a liar. We should get out of here. And then Wagner's wife, maybe she... Is she alive? Maybe she's one of them that is rescued. All that's really left to decide is, how do we kill the monster, and who survives?
How do we kill the monster? A nuclear bomb? No.
We made something that, like, we didn't know how to kill from the first place, so the only really logical thing to introduce is, Wagner's wife is like, my husband made, like, a backup thing that Cadmus can probably figure out how to finish. You dig?
Yes.
It's either that or evaporate the monster, because the thing heals so fast, you know?
Yeah.
And it has to be, like, a Lobo situation.
Yeah, alright. Honestly, I find the idea of incendiary explosive devices just so much more satisfying.
Alright, let's go,
like,
for that.
Like, kill it with fire. Like, a lot of fire.
I dig that. Okay. And let's... Okay, this is good. I dig it.
I kind of like... I don't want science to be the solution here. I want...
That's very true.
I want fire to be the solution to this.
That's very true. I like that a lot. Okay. Now... Oh, that's so good. We have to firebomb the entire place. Everybody else is dead. It's just these POWs we came in to save. And we'll say there's... We'll just say it's one. There's only one left for the sake of not having to flesh out more characters and worry about things. One POW, Mrs. Wagner.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Big soldier, Haas, and Cadmus. So we've got five. And they all are like, okay, we need to get into the armory, and we need to get the fire bombs, and we need to blow them up in these key locations. And that way you get really scary stuff of like, oh, we barely got away. Maybe one person dies. Well, we don't have really much to spare. But anyway, the point is, the climax of the movie, which we reach, all the firebombs are in place except one or two. And Cadmus goes along, hoping he'll find the research along the way. And he gets some alone time with Haas, who's like, the research is gone. He's like, what? no, all the bombs are in place. What do you mean? And he's like, there is, we destroyed all the research so that y'all couldn't get it. He's like, but I also acknowledge that my bargaining card is gone this way. So how about this? You let the monster live and you let me live. By letting me get away and like y'all, we can escape, you and me, right now. And like, I can go fuck off in the middle of nowhere and the monster will be trapped here. And then you can go off back to America and send in a team to capture the monster to do research on. And then you can get on, blah, 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 blah. And then he fucking kicks him in the chest back down to where the monster is at. And then firebomb explosion, monster incinerated, nice, clean, done and dusted. Word?
I like it. Yeah. I don't think we could get this one made.
No way. This is kind of a mess.
This is gross, and I feel like it would have to be directed so perfectly so that it didn't come off as, like, you know, that line from Spies Are Forever. Nazis are not so bad. It's, I don't, I
well, what yeah. what we're getting at is...
I know what we're getting at.
No, I know. I'm just going to try and wrap it up in hopes to, you know, that it doesn't come off unclear. That there's evil. And to look out for yourself by permitting evil to happen is wrong. And that's really much it.
Yeah. And that science is not immune to morality and politics.
Yeah. Ideologically pure? No, thank you.
Nope.
Oh my gosh.
Nuance. I mean, nuance here.
This episode ain't that good.
No.
Like I said, I'm tired.
It had some bright points.
I didn't eat today. I had a ton of work. I still have a ton of work. Oh no.
Yeah, I'm hungry. Let's grab something quick.
Yeah, let's just go eat.
I'd still say the potential for this story is tapped.
Yes. The end. I'm going to take that back.
The end. Thanks for listening to this episode of StoryTap. If you enjoyed, let us know by leaving a review on Spotify or iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. It helps a ton. Also, make sure to check out the podcast Story Break by Rocket Jump. It's a lot like what we do, just more professional. Thanks again.